I'm gonna go and I'm gonna fight Fury again, or look at me, I'm gonna go and we're gonna get into a scrap and we're gonna kick the crap out of you. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Benchwarmers podcast with Sonny Carolla, who is me, and I'm with
Gabe, me.
Hello. Okay, so today we are going to recap everything that has happened since last week, and we're going to talk about the fight, the Kobe Bryant Memorial, Zion versus LeBron, and all the big games that players have had, standings, and most importantly, we're going to talk about the Astros cheating.
Yep, bunch of cheaters. Yeah. Don't like them. Okay, Sonny, so you saw the fight, you ordered the fight. I did not get to watch the fight live, unfortunately. What were your first thoughts leading up to the fight?
My first thoughts leading up to the fight was like, I think Fury was going to win, but I thought it was going to be like split decision, really close. And then by the third round, I was watching. I was like, Wilder's screwed. Like, he's just getting wailed on. He's just like screwed. And I'm surprised the fight didn't stop earlier than it did, but it ended in the seventh round with like a minute left or something.
Yep.
And then Wilder did his corner threw in the towel, right? It wasn't just a TKO. It
so was like, Wilder, he suffered a lot of injuries in this fight. The first one, like, his mouth was pretty bloody. He had a fat lip, so he got hit a few times with Fury's jab on his bottom lip, and then he got cut on his left ear, and watching the, like, looking back at the highlights in the fight, like, it looked like blood was coming out from his ear, but I guess it was coming out from like his earlobe or something. Like, it wasn't coming out of his ear. It was, he got a cut on his ear.
Yeah.
But it looked really bad, and I was like, oh man, he's not gonna last much longer. And then his legs just looked like jello. Like, within the second or third fight, his legs started to kind of not give out, but he just looked like he was not ready for the fight. Like, his condition, I don't know if he wasn't conditioned enough, but he didn't look like he was ready. And then right before the show, me and Sonny were kind of like speculating. So Wilder's costume, or outfit, I guess you could say, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like
a plate of armor, basically. It's like if you wore a medieval knight's armor suit to the ring and wore it for 20 minutes. Think about how heavy it is. Think about your legs. Imagine walking around in something that is 45 pounds, as he described it, for like 20 minutes, and then having to go fight Tyson Fury. That really takes a toll on your legs. That's a big
deal. Like having a workout before your fight. Like, if someone's like hands you a 45-pound dumbbell, like, here, hold this for 20 minutes, and then I want you to like run around in a ring and punch someone. Like, what? Like,
that is... Yeah, that's...
What? I mean, it's all on him. He didn't have to wear a suit of armor to a fight.
That's true. I mean, both their outfits were cool. Like, I think Tyson Fury was on a throne, and he had a crown on because, you know, he's the Gypsy King.
He looked really cool. I like that he was... So, Fury was carried in, and Wilder carried in 45 pounds of armor.
Exactly. Like, that big difference. So, and yeah, Tyson, I mean, not Tyson, Wilder's suit, I saw it, I was like, it looks really, really cool, because, like, it's got, like, the red eyes, and he looks like a demon, but, like, and then you look at it, it's like, he's just wearing a bunch of chains. He's wearing chains of metals, and it's 45 pounds, and he, you know, he took a lot of big hits, but the hits that he was taking should not have knocked him down. I was watching it, I was like, what happened to his balance? And I didn't think that, like, his suit was 45 pounds. And he was just taking so many hits where he should have not have fallen down. And he did, and then that was just, like, the big thing, and he was just tired, it looked like.
Yeah, it looked like he was bare, like, look, his look on his face was like, man, how many more minutes or seconds are left in this round? Like, he could not wait to, like, get out of the ring.
Yeah.
Like, he just looked like he did not want to be there.
No.
Yeah, Tyson knocked him down a couple of times. I think one of the times the ref ruled it as like a slip, like he didn't count it.
Mm-hmm.
But so his corner, Wilder's corner, called the fight. And Wilder was a little upset and like he was like in disbelief that the fight was called, like it was over.
Yeah,
because he felt like he could fight more. But I'm like, dude, you were not throwing punches. Like the, I think it was the sixth, the end of the sixth round, and like pretty much all of the seventh round. I think he threw like five punches.
Yeah, he didn't throw anything. He's basically just a punching bag. Another thing that I think that worn him down is that you have to remember Tyson Fury's like what, weighed in at 273, 275? So when they wrap up, he was putting all his weight on Wilder.
Oh yeah.
So you have to like in the middle of the fight, after your legs are jello for having to walk around in something that's 45 pounds, you have this guy who is like 6 foot nine and 275 pounds just
resting on you.
Resting on you. So Tyson Fury got rest while the Wilder had to get a workout. So like that was a big thing.
Yeah, like Tyson's Fury's strategy, he had a pretty simple, to me it was pretty simple. He, you know, throw some punches, and then he would try to lock up with Wilder and just like hold him and kind of like push against him. Doing that for, you know, 6-7 rounds is going to wear you out.
Like, oh yeah.
If a 270 pound guy is just leaning up against you every time he's done punching you, you're going to get really tired really fast.
Oh yeah. That's
so much weight. Sonny, you brought this up earlier. Tyson Fury was licking Wilder's bloody like ear.
It was like the neck to back of the head kind of area, I guess. And he said he wanted to taste blood.
Yeah, before the fight, he said he wanted to taste blood.
You absolute creep.
He took that literally, and he tasted Wilder's blood. I mean, if that's like a level of taunting I haven't seen in a fight for some time. Like.
That's like Mike Tyson trying to
Evander Holyfield's ear, and they had to stop that fight for a little bit. But yeah, this is like up there. This is
something's wrong with the Tysons.
I mean, that can't be healthy, right? To lick someone else's blood?
No. What if he got a disease?
Yeah, I mean that could happen.
The next day.
That's not sanitary. That's not healthy at all. I mean,
Wilder would win the fight in the long run, but
Like doing that, you're just an animal.
Yeah, you're just a creep. I mean, he's a lot like Shakira. His tongue was weird. He danced before the fight. Like he's just in the locker room, like
yeah. So this guy, not only does he like to dance, lick people, he also apparently likes to sing. Singing the I think it's the American Pie song.
Yeah, I love that song. It's a good song.
We'll play a clip of it right now.
Second of all, I said I'd sing a song tonight, didn't I? Yeah! A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. Sing along if you know the words. And I knew if I had my chance, I could make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widow bride. Something touched me deep inside the day the music died. All together now. So
he can do it all. He's, you know what? He's more than a fighter. He's an entertainer.
Yeah, like, I totally agree.
He loves to put on a show. His fans love him. It's crazy. So he was fighting in the U.S. He's not from the U.S. But everybody in that stadium was singing along with him at the end of the fight.
Everybody likes him.
Yeah, he's just a really likable guy.
He's like a non-douchebag Conor McGregor.
He's borderline. A couple of times, I think in the first fight, he would put his hands behind his back, like taunting him.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of, you know, and then even in this fight, like a couple of times, like when Wilder would hit him, Fury looked like he was like smiling back at him, like, yeah, this isn't doing anything.
Yeah, he's like, I don't care. You're screwed. You lost. TKO coming up.
Yeah, I mean, man. So Wilder, I'm sorry, Fury wins this fight by technical knockout in round 7. You know, corner called the fight because he would have got knocked out badly. He was not defending himself. Like, had he let the whole round go, there was another minute and a half left in the fight, he would have got, like, knocked out badly.
Yeah. Like, rushed to the hospital, probably.
Yeah, like, his head, like, I mean, it was kind of hard to tell, like, some of the angles, but, like, his head was, like, swollen. Like, the left side of his head where his ear was, his jaw was kind of, like, swollen. Like, he was in bad shape.
Yeah, he was mad at his corner, but, like, come on now. Like, they saved some brain damage right there.
Oh, yeah, like, I mean, your corner's looking out for you, so... Yeah. Him calling the fight is just, it's good.
Yeah. Anyway, so...
So let's move on to the Kobe Bryant memorial, which was this past Monday. Were you able to watch any of the memorial?
I watched a little bit of it. Most of it was like, I just saw the speeches alone, yeah. Not really anything like in between. Yeah, I kind of just saw a little bit of Jimmy Kimmel's intro, who actually hosted it, which I didn't know.
Yeah, that was cool to see him. We're going to play a little bit of that clip right now.
I want to thank everyone for being here, and thank you for gathering to celebrate the lives of Alyssa Altobelli, her parents, John and Carrie Altobelli, Peyton Chester, her mother, Sarah Chester, Christina Mauser, Ara Zabayan, Gigi Bryant, and her father, Kobe Bryant. This is a sad day, but it is also a celebration of life, of their lives, and of life itself in the building where those of us who are Lakers fans and Kobe fans celebrated so many of the best times of our lives. And I'm honored to have been asked to speak here. The proceeds from the tickets you bought go directly to the Mamba and Mambacita Sports Foundation, which supports youth sports in underserved communities. And I also encourage you to go to mambaon3.org to give to the Mamba on 3 Fund, which was created to honor and provide financial support to the Chester, Altobelli, Zabayan, and Mauser families. I can only imagine how painful this is for them. I don't think any of us could have imagined this. Everywhere you go, you see his face, his number, Gigi's face, Gigi's number, everywhere, at every intersection. There are hundreds of murals painted by artists who were inspired, not because he's a basketball player, but because Kobe was an artist too. And not just in LA, across the country, and Kobe's hometown, Philadelphia, in Italy, in India, the Philippines, China, New York, Phoenix, Boston, for God's sake. In places where he would be booed on the court, Kobe is missed. Even the great Boston Celtic Bill Russell wore number 24. And a Lakers jersey to yesterday's game. I knew he would come to us eventually. Today we're joined by Kobe's teammates and opponents alike, his friends, his family, and his fans, as we try to make sense of what happened to these 9 beautiful people who were, by all accounts, so full of life, who left behind parents, friends, coworkers, classmates, siblings, and children. I've been trying to come up with something positive to take away from this, and it was hard because there isn't much, but the best thing I think I was able to come up with is this: gratitude. It seems to me that all we can do is be grateful for the time we had with them and for the time we have left with each other. And that's all. In the Catholic Church, you know, which the Bryant family is part of, at Mass, we share the sign of peace. This is a moment to hug or shake hands with people around you. And it occurred to me that that is something that only seems to happen at church and at sporting events, when perfect strangers who love the same team are suddenly hugging and high-fiving and celebrating together. And so, since we are here today to celebrate, I'd like to invite you right now to take a moment to say hello to the people around you, whether you know them or not, to be grateful for life and for the fact that we are all here together.
Jimmy did a good job. He, you know what, he's really good at hosting, you know, award shows. And, you know, he's good at memorials. Like, I'm glad that he did the memorial for Kobe. And, you know, I was looking, I was talking to my girlfriend, and I was telling her, like, you know, Kobe's been on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, I think, like 18 or 19 times.
Yeah, a lot.
Like, throughout his whole career, after he won all those championships, after he won an Oscar, like, he's been there, I think, on Jimmy's show at least once every year. So
probably, yeah.
I mean, that's huge. So, you know, he was close to the Bryant family. He knew him pretty well. So I know it was, like, pretty emotional for him to get up there and talk in front of, like, a sold out stadium. Like, did you see, like, there was even seats, like, on the court where the court's supposed to be. Like, it was packed in there.
Yeah, it was a lot of people
in there, man. Let's see. Okay, let's hear a quick soundbite from Vanessa Bryant, who also had a very, very emotional speech.
God knew they couldn't be on this earth without each other. He had to bring them home to heaven together.
An emotional tribute from Vanessa Bryant as she honored the memory of her late husband, Kobe, and 13-year-old daughter, Gianna.
Gigi was sunshine. She brightened up my day. She was so full of life and had so much more to offer this world. I cannot imagine life without her. Gigi, I will miss your sweet handmade cards, your sweet kisses, and your gorgeous smile. I miss you. All of you, every day, I love you. We will not be able to see Gigi go to high school with Natalia and ask her how her day went. I won't be able to tell her how gorgeous she looks on her wedding day. I'll never get to see my baby girl walk down the aisle, have a father-daughter dance with her daddy.
Vanessa honoring her beloved husband, calling him her soulmate.
He was my everything. Kobe and I have been together since I was 17 and a half years old. I was his first girlfriend, his first love. He was the most amazing husband. He would do anything for me. I have no idea how I deserved a man that loved and wanted me more than Kobe. He gave to me the actual notebook and the blue dress Rachel McAdams wore in the Notebook movie. When I asked him why he chose the blue dress, he said it was because it's a scene when Allie comes back to Noah. We had hoped to grow old together like the movie. We really had an amazing love story. Two perfectly imperfect people making a beautiful family and raising our sweet and amazing girls. Kobe was the MVP of girl dads. He always told the girls how beautiful and smart they are. He taught them how to be brave and how to keep pushing forward when things get tough.
All right, and now we're going to move on to Michael Jordan's, who's, I think this is like my favorite speech. You guys will hear it right now, but he refers to him like Brian as like his little brother. And, you know, I remember watching Kobe like early in his career. You could kind of see that he was trying to emulate a lot of what Michael Jordan did.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So for, you know, Jordan to say that he saw him as like a little brother, like that's a ton of respect to Kobe. So let's hear that clip.
I'm grateful to be here to honor Gigi and celebrate the gift that Kobe gave us all. what he accomplished as a basketball player, as a businessman, and a storyteller, and as a father. In the game of basketball, in life, as a parent, Kobe left nothing in the tank. He left it all on the floor. Maybe it surprised people that Kobe and I were very close friends. But we were very close friends. Kobe was my dear friend. He was like a little brother. Everyone always wanted to talk about the comparisons between he and I. I just wanted to talk about Kobe. You know, all of us have brothers and sisters, little brothers, little sisters who, for whatever reason, always tend to get in your stuff, your closet, your shoes, everything. It was a nuisance, if I can say that word. But that nuisance turned into love over a period of time, just because the admiration that they had for you as big brothers or big sisters. The questions, the wanting to know every little detail about life that they were about to embark on. He used to call me, text me, 11:30, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, talking about post-up moves, footwork, and sometimes the triangle. At first, it was an aggravation. But then it turned into a certain passion. This kid had passion like you would never know. And it's an amazing thing about passion. If you love something, if you have a strong passion for something, you would go to the extreme to try to understand or try to get it. Either ice cream, Cokes, hamburgers, whatever you have a love for. If you have to walk, you will go get it. If you have to beg someone, you will go get it. What Kobe Bryant was to me was the inspiration that someone truly cared about the way either I played the game or the way that he wanted to play the game. He wanted to be the best basketball player that he could be. And as I got to know him, I wanted to be the best big brother that I could be.
Shaq also gave a speech, of course. They were teammates for a long time. Shaq said something funny. He's like, he said he told Kobe that there's no I in team, but Kobe said, yeah, but there's M-E in that mother... So, like, that was kind of funny, and we'll listen to the clip right now.
Kobe and I pushed one another to play some of the greatest basketball of all time, and I am proud that no other team has accomplished what the three-peat Lakers have done since Shaq and the Kobe Lakers did it. And yes, yeah, sometimes like immature kids, we argued, we fought, we bantered or insulted each other with offhanded remarks, our feud. But make no mistake, even when the folks thought we were on bad terms, when the cameras were turned off, he and I would throw a wink at each other and say, we never took it seriously. In truth, Kobe and I always maintained a deep respect and a love for one another. The day Kobe gained my respect was the guys were complaining. I said, Shaq, Kobe's not passing the ball. I said, I'll talk to him. I said, Kobe, there's no I in team. And Kobe said, I know, but there's an ME in that. So I went back. So I went back and told Rick and And Big Shot Bob said, just get the rebound. He's not passing. Mamba, you were taken away from us way too soon. Your next chapter of life was just beginning. But now it's time for us to continue your legacy. You said yourself that everything negative, pressure, challenges, is all an opportunity for me to rise. So we now take that sage advice to now rise from anguish and begin with the healing. Just know that we got your back, little brother. I'll look after things down here. I'll be sure to teach Natalia, Bianca, and baby Capri all your moves. And I promise I will not teach them my free throw techniques. But for now, I take comfort in the fact as we speak, Kobe and Gigi are holding hands, walking to the nearest basketball court. Kobe will show her some new Mamba moves today, and Gigi soon matches them. Kobe, you're heaven's MVP. I love you, my man, till we meet again. Rest in peace, Kobe.
Okay, so on Sunday, there was a big game. It was Lakers and Celtics, where Kemba Walker was unfortunately not playing, but it was still a great game. I believe it went to overtime, or it was really close to, and the Lakers prevailed maybe like 2 or 4 points. LeBron hit a big turnaround fadeaway. That was a crazy shot. It's super fun to watch.
That was like playoff LeBron right there.
Oh, yeah. And it was like a playoff atmosphere. Oh, I really hope the Celtics make it to the finals, because whenever they play the Lakers and or the Clippers, it's always a great game. Like, it never fails to be a great game.
It's that classic, like, East Coast versus West Coast rivalry that I don't, doesn't matter who's on those teams at that time. Like, it's always going to be like a rival game. So they're always going to be good games.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jason Tatum, man, he was on fire. Like, you know, for the whole month of February, he's pretty much been killing it. Sonny, how's he been doing?
Yeah, so at the beginning of February against the Hawks, he had 28 points, then 33, then 32, then 26, then 15. Then against the Clippers, he scored 39. Against when he was in the All-Star game, he only scored 6, but that doesn't really matter. Then he scored 28. On Sunday, he scored 41 and just scored 36 last night.
Dang, so he's averaging over 30 points a game.
Oh, yeah, he's...
For the month of February, wow.
Yeah, he's becoming Damian Lillard pretty much this month.
Jeez.
Yeah, he's really going off. He's really putting the team on their back.
Hopefully he can keep this up and, like, do it into the playoffs, but...
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. The Celtics are a good team. I don't know, like, I'm not a Celtics fan, but, like, I like when they're in the playoffs.
They're like fun to watch.
Yeah, they're fun to watch. All right, let's shift over to, let's see, we had a couple big games in L.A. We had Zion and the Pelicans come to L.A. a couple nights ago, and I was really pumped for this. I thought that we were at least going to see Zion and LeBron on each other, guarding each other at least once. Spoiler alert, that did not happen.
Yeah, it maybe once, but...
No. It was not even once. It was... Like, no. It was like...
It was... Eh.
Yeah, they never... I don't know why. I don't know if... they didn't avoid each other. It's just that...
It just never happened. Came around? I don't know. Anyway, Zion had 29 points. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 33 minutes. That's a pretty good game right there against the Lakers. And it was a kind of semi-close game. I mean, there was a lot of players who used to play on the Lakers. Like Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, Lonzo. Yeah, I mean, LeBron also had a pretty good game. I think he had like 29 points. Anthony Davis had 32.
So LeBron had 34 points. I'm sorry, 34. You played 34 minutes. He had 40 points.
Really?
LeBron had 40 points in that
game.
Jeez. Yeah, he killed it. I was watching the game and I couldn't help but notice Caruso, man. Like, he only scored 8 points in that game, but he is just, like, killing it, man. He's so fun to watch on this team.
Yeah.
Like, he came up from the D League. Or is it the G League or the D League? Look that up.
I think it's the G League. Okay. Anyway, LeBron had another great dunk. It was on a fast break. And speaking of Caruso, Caruso had a couple of people threw it between his legs, behind him. LeBron just got it and dunked on Josh Hart from a mile away.
Backwards pass through his legs, no look. He just knew that LeBron was somewhere behind him, and LeBron just like picked it up and like shattered the rim. Go look it up on YouTube. Look up Caruso LeBron pass against the Pelicans. It was very, very fun to watch.
Yeah.
Sonny, who else has been killing it in the NBA this week?
Bradley Beal. I feel so bad for him. So he's the second player in NBA history to score in two nights in a row, score 50-plus points. He scored 53 and then 55. But he's the first player ever to lose both of them. He lost both back-to-back nights against the Bulls and the Bucks. I mean, when he played the Bucks, Middleton scored 40 points, but Bradley Beal made 8 threes and scored 55 points and lost in overtime. That's so painful.
Well, I mean, it's hard when you're like the best player on your team and everyone else. I mean, it's not that his team's not good. It's just, I don't know, like, he's for sure the best player on his team, and
he needs
some help. Like, they need to get some other players
they
on that team.
They need John Wall back.
Yes.
Once John Wall comes back, hopefully they'll be good. He hasn't played in, like, 2 years because he tore his ACL when he was supposed to come back. It got infected, so it took, like,
Delayed his recovery by a whole year, basically. Wizards, not looking too hot. Let's see, where are they at right now? They're in ninth place. They're 21 wins, 36 losses, so they're just garbage. On Monday, we also had another big game. Sonny, what was that game?
That game was against the Heat and the Cavaliers, and the Cavs did win by 6 in overtime, which is a big surprise. I assume Jimmy Butler wasn't playing or something, but it was a big comeback. The Cavs were down by 22 in the third quarter and ended up winning against a good team like the Heat that can go toe-to-toe with the Clippers. I mean, let's see. Was Jimmy Butler playing?
Let's see. No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't. Personal reason.
That's why they lost.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I remember this. So the reason he wasn't, there was actually a few players that didn't play.
Because they're at the Kobe game.
Yeah, they were at the Kobe. So,
like Westbrook and Harden were out.
Yeah. So like, you know, a lot of these players went out to the memorial, and then there was probably like a private thing after with a lot of the, you know, players that were there, you know, friends of the Bryant family. Like, there's probably an after thing. So a lot of these active players, I think they asked their coaches and their staff for the day off so they can go do that. Because to go to that and then travel, you know, some of these games were across like the country, like to do that travel and then get ready for a game, like there's no way you could do that.
No. Yeah.
So some of these players just took it off. Unfortunately, the Heat lost that game because Butler took the game off, but you know, they're going to be fine.
Yeah, they'll be all right. And Embiid scores a career high of 49 points and 14 rebounds on the same night against the Hawks.
Jeez.
Another big game. Pacers. First team ever to lose by 40-plus points on one night, and then the next night come back and win by 40-plus points. What a turn of events. I mean, I guess they got motivated. I don't know. But, like, they lost by 46 to the Raptors. And then they ended up beating the Hornets by 49.
Yep.
Two nights later.
Well, I mean, those are two very different opponents. The Hornets are pretty bad this year.
Yeah,
so that
the
was
Raptors
like their
are good, but
that was like their recovery game. But yeah, the Raptors are just they're beasts.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's such a huge swing though. Like to lose a game by 40 and then just to come back, but like that's such a huge swing.
Yeah.
So just recapping, like we'll do top eight.
Okay.
Of standings for East and West, but of course for the East, Bucks. First team to hit, I think, 50 wins?
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
In East and West. So, yeah, 50 wins, 8 losses. Right behind them is the Raptors with 42 wins, 16 losses.
Eight games behind.
Yeah, eight full games behind. So, Bucks are easily going to have the number one seed in the playoffs. Like, there's no question about it.
Yeah.
Celtics in the third spot right now, 40 wins, 17 losses. Heat in the fourth spot with 36 wins, 22 losses. Then we got the Sixers, 36 wins also, and 23 losses. The Pacers, who are a little up and down, 34 wins, 24 losses. In seventh, we got the Nets, 26 wins, 31 losses. And in eighth, we got the Magic, 26 wins, 32 losses.
The Bucks are the first team in the league to clinch the you automatically make the playoffs. They clinch the playoffs.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter. They could lose the rest of their games now, and they would still make the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, I think they can get to... If they play Giannis the whole rest of the season, then they can probably get to 70 wins. It doesn't matter because the Raptors are not going to catch you by 8 games.
Yeah, they don't need to win 70 games. I think they just need to win enough games to have like maybe a 3 or 4 game cushion between them and the Raptors.
Yeah,
and if they're smart, fine. They'll rest Giannis and all their other stars, and they'll be ready for
Lopez.
They'll be ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Sonny, go through the Western standings.
All right, so the Lakers are on top with 44 wins and 12 losses. The Nuggets have 40 wins and 18 losses, so behind by 4 games. The Clippers are at 38 and 19, and they're 5-0 when all their starters are healthy.
Oh, real quick, Sonny, since we're talking about the Clippers. So Lakers just cut Boogie Cousins because he hasn't played in like two years because he's been hurt. And guess who picks him up?
The Clippers.
Oh, my God. What are we doing? What are the Lakers doing? Like, I mean, I get it. They want to fill that position with someone that's actually going to play. And to me, I don't know. The Lakers staff must know something. Like, I guess Boogie may or may not come back this season, but the Clippers think he will. So I don't know why you would add him if you don't think he's going to come back and play some games or some time this season.
Hey, maybe next season. Maybe. You get Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and Boogie Cousins. That's a pretty stacked team.
And just before the trade deadline, I think the Clippers signed, was it Marcus Morris?
Uh-huh. And the Lakers have Markieff Morris.
Markieff Morris, yeah. So very similar names, but very different people.
They're brothers.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They're brothers, yeah.
I did not know that.
They said that they might live together since they both live in L.A.
Can you imagine that? Like, you and your brother playing for... Two of the biggest teams in the NBA, and you're in the same house.
Imagine playing each other, just like waking up in the morning, eating breakfast, and be like, oh, we're going to whoop you guys today. And
I'll see you in a few hours.
LeBron James is going to smack you. Like,
that is so funny. I did not know that. Wow. So Clippers, like, honestly, like, oh, man, Clippers are just looking like the smarter team right now.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know the full details about Boogie, but, I mean, to cut him and then... Like, there's a reason the Clippers picked him up. That's all I'm saying. Like, they're taking a chance on him, and I feel like it may there's a high chance it'll pay off for them, whether it be the end of this season or next season. I mean, it feels like Clippers management is, like, doing a really good job.
Yeah. I mean, even have him in, like, playoffs, he could still help.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like if you have a spot on your team, like, might as well just – it's like in fantasy football where, like, you have a bench –
take a shot on the guy.
Take a shot on someone that may or may not pan out, and it's like, you know what? I'm just going to see what happens. Like, I have a spot open. Might as well just wait and see. So.
Yeah. All right, where are we? The Rockets are at 37 wins and 20 losses. Jazz are 36 and 21. Thunder are 36 and 22. Mavericks are at 35 and 23. Grizzlies 28 and 29. And the Blazers, who are at 9th, are 26 and 33.
Yeah.
So, I think the Lakers are going to keep number one unless Anthony Davis or LeBron goes down. But and then I think the Clippers are going to take the number two spot, and Jazz are going to go to fourth.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this before the show, but how awesome would it be? I mean, we're in Glendale, we're in LA area. How awesome would it be to have the Lakers versus the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals.
That'd be so fun.
That'd be so fun. I would love to go to that game. I'm sure that game would be like $1 million to go. But
oh, of course.
If we could get like nosebleeds, that'd be fun.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So hoping, knocking on wood, that they play each other in the conference finals. Okay. So before we close up shop, Sonny, I wanted to ask you for sports, just any sport. If a team cheats to get to the finals, like the final game, like in this case, let's just use an example. Like this, if you're a football team and you cheat in a few of your games to get to the Super Bowl, even if you don't cheat in the Super Bowl, do you consider that like cheating?
Yeah, and I think it is. It's definitely, I mean, Bill Belichick did it. But yeah,
he's done it a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely cheating because, like, I get also in baseball, it's also a 7-game series, right?
Right.
It's still like, if you cheated to get there, you don't deserve to get there. They should, I don't know how they'd fix it, but like.
Well, so.
It's
okay.
Cheating.
The team we're talking about is the Astros. So in 2017, they stole signs using either buzzers or like cameras or something to let their team know what pitch was coming. So the equivalent to that in, like, I don't know, football would be if your opponent is about to run a play and you know what exactly what play it's going to be. So like if I was, I don't know, if I'm playing against Sonny and I know that he's going to run the ball this play, obviously I'm not going to have all my defenders in the back trying to, like, you know, stop a pass play. I'm going to
you'll run a blitz.
I'm going to run a blitz or, you know, I'm going to put some pressure on the quarterback. So knowing that little bit of info makes a huge difference. Like, if you know what is coming in any sport, if you can predict like one play ahead, that's a huge advantage. Huge advantage. So the Astros cheated and they claim that they didn't cheat in all their games, but cheating in just a few of the games, that gave you wins. Like, that puts you in a better seeding position for the playoffs. So cheating is cheating. In any sport, don't cheat.
Oh, wait, is that why you said don't rip off my jersey? Because they'd see the
buzzers? Yeah. So apparently, what happened, so the clip we're referring to, you can YouTube it, but Altuve, he hits a home run to send his team to the World Series. And in baseball, it's pretty like, it's like almost tradition, like when you hit a home run in a big game like that, that your team waits for you like at home plate and they like rip your shirt off. Like it's just like, it's tradition. It's what they do. And they like, you know, shower you with like water and Gatorade and stuff. Like, you know, they just tear you apart. And he told the team as he was rounding third base to not tear off his shirt, which is really weird. And the excuse he gave at first was that his wife doesn't like him, you know, showing his body off, on camera and stuff.
Yeah, I heard
but
that.
You can actually Google Altuve. You can pull up tons of pictures of this guy shirtless. Like, he is not shy, doesn't care about like being shirtless or not. And then an excuse came out later that apparently he had a bad tattoo that he got of his daughter or something, and he was embarrassed about it. So he told the team not to pull his shirt off because of that. It's like, dude, stick to your story, man. Like, either it's either one or the other.
Yeah.
So people are saying the reason that he didn't, they told the team not to tear off his shirt was because he had a buzzer underneath his shirt. So what many people speculate that the Astros were doing was they had somebody on a camera looking at the opponent's catcher, and they were buzzing their players to let them know, you know, oh, a fastball's coming, or he's going to, you know, pitch a certain way. Like, they were basically giving their players an advantage in knowing what pitch is coming. So, yeah, the whole thing, I'm an Angels fan. The whole thing is just like super frustrating because when you have other teams that like play legit and don't cheat and then don't, you know, get into the playoffs, it's really frustrating when you lose to teams that cheat. And then it comes out later that, oh, by the way, we won this title because we cheated.
Yeah, that's
like, I don't even know what you do. Like,
I'd be mad.
I'm still upset about it. And it happened 3 years ago. But for me, it's like, okay, you cheated. It's come out that you cheated. You've apologized for cheating. What is a fair punishment? What do you think would...
You get your title stripped.
That's what I want. I want, like, you can keep your rings if you want, but I want it in, like, you know, the sports history book. Like, if somebody goes back 100 years from now, like, oh, what happened in 2017? Like, who won the World Series? I want it to be blank. I mean, yeah. no team won that year. Like, you don't deserve to be considered a champion if you cheated to get, and it was proven, and you apologized, you admitted guilt. Like, you shouldn't get
yeah,
the
you
world.
Did it.
Yeah, you did it. You shouldn't deserve to have your team's name there.
Yeah, that's...
Like, it's not
frustrating. It's so frustrating.
It's not a legit, like, championship.
Yeah, no, it's not yours.
But, I mean, look at the Patriots. Look how many Deflategate, Spygate. I don't even know all the other gates.
Whenever I bring that up to people, everybody's like, oh, well, every other team probably cheated. And I'm like, well, no. That, I mean, even if they did, they haven't got caught. Like, I don't know. It's such... Like, and they got really, what repercussions did they get? Fined?
The Astros?
No, the Patriots.
Yeah, they got, so Brady, I think it was in, I forgot which one it was, but Brady missed a few games. He got suspended. I think the team took some fines. You know, very, like, minor stuff. Like, if someone were to say, I think they lost some draft picks, too. Like, if someone were to say, hey, we're going to take all your, like, if someone give you a deal, hey, Sonny, you have two first-round draft picks this year. But would you trade those two picks for a championship?
Yes.
In a heartbeat, right? You just, yeah. You do it. Like, any team would do it. Like, if you can have an advantage that'll pretty much almost guarantee you win
a
that year or get really far in the playoffs, yeah, like, people are going to do it. So, I mean, not to say, like, that's not justifying cheating, but, you know, you cheat, you're going to get caught, and... Don't do it. Like, I'm so frustrated and over this.
Yeah, a lot of people are irate and pissed, and
even LeBron,
he's like, as a sports junkie, he was like, if I found out that I could have won a championship, but the other team cheated, I'd be pissed and be like mad as all hell and like do whatever I can to fix it or something like that.
Yeah, like it's. Like, you don't have to be a huge baseball fan to, like, know that cheating in any sport
is bad.
It's super bad, and it just ruins it. It's like, for me, it's like, what are we even playing for if we have a team that's going to cheat?
Yeah.
Like, there's no point. So, I don't know. I just wanted to vent a little bit as a, you know, baseball fan over here. Just, yeah, a little bummed out and frustrated. And the players that came forward, so they got immunity if they came forward and said what happened.
Ugh.
So they're not even going to be punished.
That sucks. Who runs the NFL? I mean, sorry, MLB.
Rob Manfred.
Oh,
is the
you
guy.
Suck at your job.
Rob Manfred, you suck. I'm sorry, man. Like, you can't. Okay, give the players immunity. Whatever, that's fine. Don't suspend them or anything. But at least take the title away from the Astros. Like, I'm not telling them to give it to the other team that they lost in the World Series to. Just take it away. That year didn't happen, and we'll just move on.
Yeah.
Did we miss anything, Sonny?
Yeah, actually, I was thinking about this. We missed, when we were talking about the Fury-Wilder fight, we did not talk about how Fury called out Anthony Joshua and wants to fight him, and Wilder wants a rematch. Rematch part 3 would be awesome.
Anthony Joshua, if you guys want to look him up real quick, he was the guy who lost against Andy Ruiz, and then he rematched him and then beat him in, I think, a technical knockout in... Because of the time difference, the fight was like at 1 or 2 p.m. But like it was, I think it was like Saudi Arabia or something. It was really weird. But because of the time difference, it aired at like 1 or 2 p.m. our time.
Huh.
It's really weird. But anyway, so yeah, Anthony Joshua, if you guys haven't seen him, he's a really, really good fighter. I would love to see him versus Fury.
That'd be awesome. Or like him against Wild or something.
Well, I feel like Fury versus Wilder, there's going to be a number 3,
yeah.
But I think Wilder needs to, I don't know, like, he needs to, like, either fire his corner, get a new trainer or something, or, like, he needs some time off. Like, I think he needs, like, a rebound fight.
Yeah, he can't go and lose twice in a row and fight too big. He needs to fight some guy
some
and
chump.
Then, like, yeah, beat him. Kick the crap out of him.
And then ask for a rematch.
Yeah, and then be like, I'm going to go and I'm going to fight Fury again. Or look at me, I'm going to go and fight Anthony Joshua, this big built Hispanic. I don't know, what is he?
Anthony Joshua is, he's black, but he's from UK, so he has like a British accent.
Oh, that's like, that's pretty funny. Yeah, I don't know why that's funny, but like
it's interesting. It's a combination you don't really see.
But we're gonna get into a scrap, and we're gonna kick the crap out of you.
That's exactly how he sounds.
That'd be funny.
It's like the voice that comes out of him is like not the voice you expect, but yeah, that's he's like British, I guess. But yeah, that would be a really good fight to see him fight Fury. I think that's it, Sonny.
All right.
What's this all been, Sonny?
Just a waste of my time.